Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Edwards to Gallo, and the first pitch. Swung on, hit high in the air, deep center field. Back is Almora. This is going to be a long home run. He hits a drive into right center field. It's playable for the center fielder to Shields. And the ball game is over. Contreras retired on a fly ball to center. And the Texas Rangers have come from behind to beat the Chicago Cubs by a score of 8-6. Gallo leads at third. The pitch. Wild pitch. Here comes Gallo to score the winning run. And the Texas Rangers have beaten the Chicago Cubs.
Jeez Louise, that was rough.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Yeah.
Not great, Bob.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sports. Adav Sharma, who covers the Cubs for The Athletic, will tell us how we're supposed to be handling November now, I guess.
Today, it's November.
Urgency.
October, as always, or something.
We have to show great urgency about this, I guess. Midday, midway at 10:20, Brian Hamilton at 11:20, and be listening for your opportunity to land a qualifying spot in the final event for Cubs season tickets. It's April 4th when we are going to be at 1-2 Brew, presented by Sweetwater Tavern and Grill, newly remodeled and reopened on the Mag Mile. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR, the Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Send us a text at 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein underscore MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. You also must download the radio.com app.
All of the ERAs are too high.
They're way too high. And that way you can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You want to watch us? There are video cameras that show us here. Brian Gertz directs the video feed, and that's at Facebook Live and watch 670thescore.com. The producer is Jay Zawoski.
And a fly ball. Hit back in the deep right field. Number four for Kristen Yelich. My goodness, what a start.
They're giving him the silent treatment. How about that? No gauntlet.
You get four home runs in four games, you get the silent treatment. How about that? I guess, what else is there?
Who has more fun than the Milwaukee Brewers?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, they're just tired of congratulating him, apparently.
But he hits too many ground balls, Dan. I told you all offseason that he hits too many ground balls, and I don't know if the guy's going to continue hitting home runs in every single at-bat. God!
Who has more fun than the Milwaukee Brewers?
It's almost like launch angle isn't a fad.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
On the board, Rick Camp.
Question about Aaron Judge. In 1956, Mickey Mantle hit 52 home runs. Mm. This year, Judge hit 52 home runs. Mm. Would you agree that Aaron Judge is on track to have a better career than Mantle?
Not unless you're an idiot, dude, you think that.
Mike, if you look at the numbers, Judge did what Mantle did.
No,
you know, his best year, he only hit 52 home runs.
Mickey Mantle won the triple crown. I mean, unless you're just trying to be argumentative or a fool. I mean, Mickey Mantle won the triple crown that year. Maybe you didn't realize that.
How did he win a triple crown if he's not a horse? That makes no sense, Mike. Now, Aaron Judge.
I mean, why would you wait on the phone for an hour to make a jackass out of yourself? I just don't understand it. But, I mean, you know, some people, I mean, I guess that's what they like.
I'm with the Pope on that. Is most of his show now, seriously, is it just trolling him?
How did he win a triple crown if he's not a horse? That makes no sense, Mike.
He might not make it through today's show. I mean, this is this day. This is that day for prank phone callers.
Mike, now Aaron Judge.
Well, it's that day, and they...
That's what I'm saying. It's April 1st.
And they dropped two to the Orioles.
They're going to be all over that man. I almost feel bad for him.
Yeah, kind of, not really. In
he's
the back,
got that app for $8.99.
So doing what he does, the Mexicutioner Ray Diaz.
It's so nice to meet you. Hi.
Congratulations, the Cure Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees 2019. Are you as excited as I am?
By the sounds of it, no.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
I'm sure we'll get there eventually. It's a bit early, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. Maybe we just need a few drinks.
God forbid.
I love you, Robert Smith.
Oh, my God.
That is the lead singer of The Cure, Robert Smith.
That was amazing.
By the sound of it, no.
Are you as excited as I am?
By the sounds of it, no.
We're The Cure. We've made a living out of being not excited about things.
That's so on brand. Like, do you know? It's like, I'm the lead singer of The Cure.
Oh.
We're kind of unhappy. We're moody. People wonder what's wrong with us when we are happy.
That is incredible.
We're kind of known for detached insouciance.
I know. We don't trust joy as an emotion, so
you don't
there's
do
no
that.
Way have we're you, as excited you, as you are. Thank you.
That's a perfectly appropriate time for a do you know who I am?
Oh.
Right?
Are you as excited as I am?
By the sounds of it, no.
That is magnificent.
God forbid. He's imagining her with a couple of drinks.
Oh, out of the park.
That's so good.
Robert, well done, sir.
Handled, my good man. This segment is brought to you by Campland RV. It's Campland RV's huge tent event from April 5th through the 14th. Find great deals just in time for camping season. Go to CamplandRV.com for details. Campland RV, RV buying made easy. Just a short drive off I-94 in northwest Indiana. Well, what was the term that Joe Sheehan used, our guy? He's going to join us tomorrow at 10 o'clock. The term that he used for if the Cubs season goes badly would be the starting pitching goes pear-shaped, right?
It looked awfully pear-shaped in the first three games of the season, sure.
Yeah.
Looks much more pear than apple.
What the hell is going on with Darvish?
No one's throwing well.
No.
You Darvish threw 57 pitches before a ball got put into play.
C-Sheck looked great.
That's sure. Yes. I mean, but look through. If you want to go and do the sort on Baseball Reference, right? If you want to go to the sort and just sort by the ERAs where Darvish has a 10, Hamels has a 1, and Strope has an 18, and Montgomery's is an 81, and Chatwood's is 16, and Carl Edwards is an infinite ERA. You can do that. And you can hate yourself, and you can hate your baseball team, and you hate your bullpen, and you can hate your starting pitching. But as much as October is always, and as much as we are apparently now in an era of Cubs baseball where we have to judge each and every pitching change or each and every ball game or each and every failure or each and every success by its you know counterfactual by great, yeah, sure that was great. But he could have failed there too. So that was, you know, all you did there was avoid failure. You didn't actually succeed. Then we've lost what's actually going to happen in a baseball season. You're still going to play 162 of these things. And yeah, I'm a guy who told you that I worry about the starting rotation and about the depth in the bullpen, about the lack of strikeouts from guy one to guy four or five or six in that bullpen. But you've got to let this thing work out. You've got to let this thing figure itself out. You cannot throw away conventional wisdom, and you can't throw away the accumulated front office decade of experience.
So how do
15, 20 years of this.
How do I show urgency? Just like the postseason. If October starts in March and now it's November, I'm serious here. Well, we're going to talk to Jed Hoyer about, 11 o'clock on Thursday?
Yeah.
We'll talk to him about it, but seriously, if I'm trying to do what the president said I'm supposed to do, what is the proper way to show urgency about these first three games? Help me out here. Give me a roadmap.
If you're around the team as you are, you hear the players talking about, hey, every game counts and October starts in March. So that makes you feel good, you know, as an executive that we all kind of learned a lesson, a little bit of a takeaway from the way last season ended, falling one game short and not living up to our own standards. I'm really proud of the way our guys have handled that and tried to make something good of it, and I think we'll see that show up on the field this year.
A swing and a drive. The Cubs bullpen has a 10.03 ERA in their 11 and two-thirds innings.
Holy heck!
Theo Epstein is all excited about it, but okay, so what now? I'm asking you. This is an entreaty to you. I'm dead serious. What's the proper response? What does Theo Epstein want? How does he want Joe Maddon to respond? How does he want Tommy Hotovy to respond? What's the way to express appropriate urgency about the bullpen sucking out loud, letting two games against a bad team go kablooey on you?
Your starting rotation, or at least your three starters that you've thrown, not playing all that well either. And Jose Quintana comes in and works his four innings and looks good. Lester and Hamels and Darvish, all kind of shades of to very, very bad. I don't know that Joe Maddon has an option.
50 shades of
50 shades of, oh, God. I don't know that Joe Maddon has answers right now to how do you show urgency. Because it's the thing we've talked about for a while now, at least it seems to me. You can make your lineups, and as long as they're hitting well and providing offense against a team that doesn't pitch all that well, you put up a whole bunch of runs, you lost two of three. That's urgency. They've done their work. You've got Anthony Rizzo delivering clutch home runs. You've got Javi Baez doing what he's doing. You've got Chris Bryant hitting. I mean, what more can you ask from this offense? Nothing, right? I mean, there's not much more you can ask from position players. So, all right, you want to show a little urgency. Maybe you, Darvish, is struggling. Maybe you should have taken him out a little bit earlier. Maybe Cole Hamels didn't deserve to work himself out of the jam that he got himself into before allowing the big fly. You go to a bullpen that's not throwing well? I mean, if Joe Maddon's decisions are all bring in the next guy who can walk the next guy, what urgency do you have? You know, so this is kind of the worst spot for a team that's demanded accountability and urgency from itself.
That's what I'm saying.
When you don't have pitching, when you don't have the ability to throw strikes, there aren't a lot of options available to you. There aren't a lot of ways to show urgency.
What the hell is wrong with Mike Montgomery? I mean, you talk about wild in the strike zone and just putting it on a tee? Come on, man.
If that's a function of not being able to work in spring training as often as you'd want, I mean, there aren't, you know, this lineup or this roster, I guess, is forced some by decisions that have been made 2 years ago. I mean, your depth is there. Your guys are on the field. You're 25. Your top 25 have been well established for a while now. You're not flipping Montgomery out of the bullpen for Dylan Maples or Dakota Meeks or something. You're not making those kind of moves this early. You know, everybody's going to cry about Craig Kimbrell, right? I mean, the idea that you could go ahead and sign the active saves leader, that you could go ahead and sign a guy that may just end up being a first ballot Hall of Famer. But Craig Kimbrell doesn't solve your issues right now. He helps, no doubt about it. Throwing a guy into that bullpen that can pitch like Craig Kimbrell's pitched is good. It just is. But it doesn't fix the fact that everybody else is walking people. It doesn't fix the fact that your rotation went a collective, 11, 13 and two-thirds innings in three games. That's not enough. You've constructed a team that needs more out of its starters. And if the bullpen's going to choke up whatever it had over the last 3 days, then I don't know how you provide more urgency for that team other than relying on the coaches, relying on the relationships that you decided to start this offseason and into the spring to bring guys back from the brink.
There are other aspects that need to improve as well. It's not just the pitchers, and I am not going to go to this built-in excuse of already blaming umpires for the Cubs being bad. Did you watch that? You got to stop. You got to just take that off the table and do not begin to offer that already and say, well, Hamels was getting squeezed and this shouldn't happen and that should happen. The problem's obviously bigger than that. Noticed a couple other things as well that the Cubs need already to shore up. Bernstein and McKnight, you've got the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We got to straighten that out. Obviously, Sheck had a good day. Overall, Chatwood, I thought, was not bad either. I mean, for his first attempt, we got to get Montgomery right. I mean, that's his spot right there. And Rosie had thrown too much yesterday, even though he didn't pitch. So we couldn't utilize him. So, but that's what Monty's here for that particular moment. We got to get him right.
Yeah, pitching not good, but you got to tighten up some other things as well. That's Joe Maddon. And make the plays defensively. I'm a little worried about Javier Baez's throwing.
Sure.
There are a couple times that Rizzo had to bail him out.
Three bailouts,
yeah, three.
I think.
Yeah, three?
I had him in three.
I mean, I was doing a lot of flipping, so there's some things that I probably missed.
Yeah, it's
I was
entirely doing a lot of back it's and the forth. First week of baseball.
One,
flipping all
two,
over.
Three.
Thank you. Thank you.
Zobrist's
struggles in left. The other thing, Contreras is still too jumpy behind the plate. And you heard Jim Deshaies going out of his way to sort of praised the catchers, the other guy. He praised Caratini, and he certainly praised Mathis. He did a lot of work. It's what he didn't say. It was in the negative space when he was going out of his way to talk about other catchers in this series for presenting a good target or holding the glove there and giving an umpire a good look. I don't see Wilson Contreras still doing what he can do. And this staff needs it. They need help. They need you to buy strikes.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's not a lot of money to be made by being somewhat positive today. I mean, you went and you started 1-2 to begin your season, one that you've deemed critical, one that you've deemed as future-altering, depending on how you rebound from a series against just the way last season ended. Losing in 163 and then losing the wild card game and then saying like there is a reckoning. But these, what you saw are the worst case scenarios. I mean, in my mind, the expectations of this offense are high. You met those. Although I don't think they're the highest expectations. I think the biggest asks you're making this season of the 2019 Cubs is the rotation and staying on top of things and is the bullpen. As it exists currently without a real high strikeout rate type of dude in the back end, it's your 6, 7, and 8 guys, 6, 7, and 8 innings, then what? I mean, Mike Montgomery hasn't gotten a ground ball yet. He's at his best when he throws ground balls. He's given up 2 home runs. He's gotten 1 out.
He's giving up loud contact.
Bad things. Those are very bad things. So I think you can take some solace in like this is as bad as it gets. But that doesn't comfort you and doesn't make you feel any better. And that's probably not something that coaches are walking around the locker room today getting ready for Braves or saying, hey, it's fine. This was as bad as it gets. We won't be worse from here. Like, that's not the attitude that you instilled this offseason. You told everybody that this is that the accountability needs to be spread around. I don't think that this is a clubhouse that folds on itself. I don't think this is a team that lets that kind of stuff go, especially after 3 games of the season.
But this is the problem I'm having, is I'm patience guy. I'm sample size guy. Yeah. I know how baseball works. I understand all this stuff. But this year, the head of the organization, a guy whom I really trust, a guy who knows way more about baseball than I do, the guy who's actually in charge, has told everybody to be urgent, to think about things differently, to know that every single game counts, circling 10 trap games on the schedule.
Yeah.
I don't know if Sunday was one of those circled or not, if that's something they're going to make public or not, or that's just in private. Maybe we'll ask Jed about that too. But it, everything is different now, and I feel a little adrift. I feel like usually I would just say, look, everybody will be fine. We know how good they're supposed to be, and things should be okay. But what if Pakoda's right? You know, what if that bad omen, what if that's right? What if this is what a low strikeout bullpen looks like? What if this is just, what if this 3-game series is the omen paired up with the 79 wins from Pakoda?
Well, you've got a decent offense. And that's the point, though, is Pakoda projected the worst case scenario or what they believe to be a regression for a bunch of over 30-year-old pitchers. That's essentially what they ended up doing. This offense, I think, though, is enough to get you to your 90 wins with representative major league pitching. You didn't see a whole lot of that. You saw Brandon Kinstler throw fine, I guess, and Steve Cishek worked fine, I guess.
Yeah, he was good.
Those were the representative major league pitchers that you had this entire weekend. You didn't get just baseline stuff. This was get your ass torched kind of stuff.
By the Rangers.
Yeah.
And again, the Yankees dropped 2 to Baltimore.
Yeah, listen, the Red Sox, Astros, and Yankees all won at least 100 games last season with a combined run differential of 874. They are all of them 3-8 this year with a run differential of minus 11. Jason Stark tweeted out there this morning. Baseball, it's screwed up in the first handful of weeks.
In Des Plaines, this is Russ. He's on the Bernstein and McKnight show on The Score.
Yeah, I hope they bomb out a few more times in the bullpen, then they'll panic and go get Kimbrel while he's available, because you better get him now.
They
never should have got rid of Bazio. Bazio was a great pitching coach. He took a bum like Arrieta and turned him into Tom Seaver, for Christ's sake.
Wouldn't you say, though, Russ, that while Kimbrel's great and everything, you kind of worry about signing a reliever that's over 30 and has a walk rate that tripled from last year to the year before to this last year?
Yeah, well, you look at his whip last year, it's pretty darn good yet. And
no doubt.
Still came, you know, so I'm saying I'm not going to give him that 4 or 5 year thing that he wants. See, if no one offered him anything, you get those deals where you get the 1 year, give him the $20 million for 1 year, because you know what? What's going to happen when you got to sign your superstars coming up, your third baseman, and your guys you got coming up with the contract? You got 2 years left, so get this guy. He's a need. We got Brandon Morrow to where, oh, well, we got to wait a month. What the hell? He didn't pitch the last 2 months of last year. He got the whole offseason, and we're going to trust that he's going to be available come May 1st? Come on. Get this guy. I don't care. Overpay. Take a shot.
Thanks, Russ.
Appreciate it, Russ. I mean, that's the weird part of this. Russ is right. I mean, that's the weird part of this part of the season.
He has way too much knowledge for that voice.
It was good.
I didn't expect him to immediately go to walks plus hits per innings pitched. And
which also went up 33% for Craig Kimbrel from 17 to 18, but it's still a whip that's just under one. His walk rate exploded from 1.8 to 4.5 from 17 to 18. That's a little bit alarming. And if he's sitting a tick under the 95, 96 that he used to throw, I worry a little bit. However, he'd still be your best reliever on this team, at least as it's currently constructed. And I think he's right. I think waiting for Brandon Morrow is a big issue for this team, because when he comes back, how often is Joe going to be able to work him?
Not 3 days in a row.
Obviously, you can't do that. So if he works 2 to 3 times a week, if he's your Sunday, Wednesday, Friday kind of guy, then you're still looking at 4 days a week where the bullpen's got to be without it.
Once you've circled a trap game, what if you're saving him for the trap game for which you have to be urgent? Saginaw, Michigan. Bobby, you're on the Score.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, the urgency narrative that's been created by Theo, I feel like, created by Theo / the feedback from the players, I think he might come to regret that, just from, you know, dealing with, we're 3 games into the year and people are questioning about urgency because of the bullpen, and how do you measure urgency? It's just a very odd dynamic to create for a baseball season, for an 162-game season. And the challenging people to be urgent, I think, resonates more with kind of his core group of hitters. I think that he has the tap on them to say that they'll respond really favorably to something like that. But when you have some veteran bullpen guys that aren't performing, how do they be more urgent? You know, what does he really expect there? It's the same kind of thing that you're hitting on with, we understand sample size and stats, but now he's shifted to this day by day focus. And as a fan base, every time they lose a game, you're going to say, well, where's the, you got to be more urgent. So it's just going to be an odd dynamic.
I don't know how to feel, Bobby. That's why I said I'm adrift as an observer and commentator, because I don't know what I'm supposed to think or say at this point.
If the urgency lands properly, if that message and that level of accountability lands properly to every hitter 1 through 12 on this team, but misses veteran bullpen arms, and you're stuck right in the middle of an 81-81 season, then it will feel horrible. But remember,
I've got the itchy Cubs hives, the CJ Edwards feeling, all the Darvish stuff. It's like,
The CJ Edwards is a tough thing to kind of come around with, because you've got a guy with stuff like that, and apparently dealing with all kinds of issues in between one ear and the other.
Like what?
Like, I apparently can't find the strike zone. I mean, that's just what he's changed, the delivery, and it's the delivery that a lot of people saw during spring training and said, I think that's a balk, and I would hate for that brand new thing to get out to a regular season game, then have to get screwed with by an umpire or two that wants to call balk because the center of attention needs to be on that guy. And now you've got a guy who's changed the delivery and now worried about that very delivery, that change being something that he's not allowed to do.
One of the very smartest people who covers the Cubs is Sahada Visharma of The Athletic. We will get grounded in our Cubs awareness. He will be our lodestone to tell us exactly how we're supposed to feel at this point, I hope. We're all counting on it.
Yeah, I think he can do that work. Sahada's next. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.